the world tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow.
How near are we to the final Armageddon? You simply can't realize the significance of recent events in this world. The uprising in Poland, the troubles in Iran and Iraq, in the war over there, in the Middle East. Unless you understand what is prophesied in the Bible prophecies. So once again, I would like to turn to the 17th chapter of Revelation. Revelation, as I've said before, is the principal book of prophecy in the New Testament of the Bible. It's a book that is called in some Bibles the Apocalypse. And that is, of course, the Greek word, which means a revealing. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, by which Jesus Christ himself reveals what is going to happen in our time and in the immediate future in our generation now. So once again, Revelation 17 and verse 3. So he carried me away. John is writing what he saw in vision here. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. In other words, he's taken in vision into a place in the wilderness to where he's going to see events of our time, more than 1900 years from the time that he saw and wrote this vision. And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, can you imagine a wild animal like that? I don't think I've ever seen a wild animal of scarlet color, real bright hue and scarlet color, and having seven heads and then ten horns. That certainly is a rather strange beast. That is also described in Revelation, the 13th chapter, and in the first two verses of the 13th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 1, where John, again, is recording what he saw in a vision. And he says, I stood upon the sand of the seashore, and a beast rise up out of the sea. So he was right on the seashore with the waves coming in and a beast coming up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Now here are the same seven heads and ten horns that we saw in the 17th chapter. And upon his horns, ten crowns. Now that is a new thing. It is not added just to that part, but it is discussed later in the 17th chapter. But ten crowns that were upon the horns. And upon the heads, the names of blasphemy. Now that is all explained, and I went into it in a recent program. What is this beast? It's a symbol for something. The book of Revelation is very largely written in symbolic language, but the Bible explains its own symbols. And these symbols are explained back in the 7th chapter of Daniel. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, the prophet Daniel saw four beasts rising up out of the sea, just the same as John saw this one beast. But now his four beasts that Daniel saw, one was like a lion, and the second one was like a bear, and the third was like a leopard, and had four heads. Now that makes the four heads on that one, and a head on the bear, and one on the lion. You've got six heads now so far on the three beasts. And then he saw a fourth beast that was different from any of them, that had, like great iron feet, and a lot of iron connected with it, indicating very preponderance of weight and huge strength. So that the four beasts of Daniel, the 7th chapter, have the same characteristics as the beast of the 13th chapter and the beast of the 17th chapter of Revelation. Now in Daniel, the 7th chapter, it says, these beasts are four kings, and the fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Well now, what kingdoms are they? And where did they begin? To understand that, you have to go back to the 2nd chapter of Daniel. And there we find it all depicted in the dream that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon or of the Chaldean Empire, which he had, and the prophet Daniel was called in to interpret it for him. And he said that the great image that the king had seen in a dream represented four great kingdoms. And the first represented Nebuchadnezzar and his Chaldean Empire. The second was going to follow him, which would be the Persian Empire. The third would be the Greco-Macedonian Empire. Now, incidentally, that had four heads because it was divided into four divisions, and each division had a head. That was the empire of Alexander the Great, who died in a drunken debauch early in life as a fairly young man. And then his four generals took over the empire, each one a fourth of it, and each one was head in his part. And so it was divided into four parts, and there were four heads and the four generals that had been generals of Alexander the Great. And then there was another. Finally, it came down to the Roman Empire, the one that followed, with its two divisions and 10 toes on the bottom of this image. And I think it might be good if we just turn back to the final conclusion of that in Daniel 2, and it's in verse 44. When we got to the bottom of this image, which was going in a time sequence from the head down to the feet and the toes, and in the days of these kings, represented by the 10 toes on the feet, and the feet were the two divisions of the ancient Roman Empire, and it comes down to our time in these latter days, as a matter of fact, just a few years ahead of us right now, but perhaps not even a few years, very shortly ahead of us, but in our time now, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. That's all of the governments or the kingdoms represented that finally came down to the Roman Empire, and a final 10 divisions coming down to 10 in our latter time, represented by the 10 toes. That has not appeared yet. It is to appear in Europe. All these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom. That is the kingdom of God. Now, what was the gospel of Jesus Christ? It wasn't a message of men about the person of Christ. It was a message about the coming kingdom of God. And this speaks of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be set up in the days of those 10 toes, and they are forming in Europe right now. And the events that are taking place, as I said, the Poland crisis, the Middle East, and all of the different crises around the world are leading to these very, very things. And they're going to happen in your time and mine, and it's very vital that we understand these things. I know it's symbolic language. It may seem a little hard to understand for many people that you find in the Bible prophecy here, speaking first in symbols, and then you have to go to another part of the Bible to even understand those symbols, which I've just been explaining to you. But now, I want to go back to Revelation 17, and I want to skip down to verse 8 just now, where it says, verse 8 in Revelation 17, the beast that thou sawest. Now remember, that was a beast having 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, was and is not and shall ascend. What time is it speaking about? This was recorded back in about 90 A.D., but as I said, the prophet John on the Isle of Patmos was looking into the future, into the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is right upon us, yet ahead of us right now. And this is speaking of things in your time and mine, shortly to come to pass, that you're going to live through. And you're going to see, and this is very vital, that you understand what is coming, because you're going to have to live through it. Now, the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. What is the time speaking here of when it was and is not? And go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now that is speaking of a time approximately 1933 or 1934. It is speaking of a time when Mussolini claimed that he had revived the ancient Holy Roman Empire. He had made a concordat with the Vatican. He had conquered Ethiopia, and he had Italian Somaliland and Eritrea, and united with Italy, he said he had united the Roman Empire once again. Now, it was not big news at the time. I remember of it, and I don't think it even made first-page news. I announced it on radio at the time and my broadcast, but it did make screaming headlines. And yet Mussolini claimed he had actually revived the Roman Empire, and that was that particular head of it. I'll come more to that a little later in the sequence of these events. But now I'd like to go on and read the next verse, verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. Now then, I want you to notice, up before it said that there were seven heads and 10 horns on the beast. Now the seven heads now represent another symbol, seven mountains. Well, in Bible prophecy, a mountain is many, many times referred to as a kingdom or a nation. Are seven kingdoms then, on which the woman sitteth. Now there is a woman on this beast. And I think now we need to go back to the first verse in the 17th chapter of Revelation. I skipped that. I began with the third verse. Let's go back to verse 1. And it mentions a woman sitting on this beast. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Now those seven vials are described in other verses just ahead of this, in other chapters in the book of Revelation, as the seven vials of the seven last plagues to be poured out at the time of the return of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule every nation on earth. He is going to take over every nation. The United States, Britain, France, Germany, Russia, Japan, every nation around the world. And it's going to be ruled by Jesus Christ as the kingdom of God. And that which most people don't know, because they have never seemed to have heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. His gospel was that of the kingdom of God, which is going to take over these nations and rule. And he is calling a church, which altogether is represented as a woman, to be married to Christ when he comes and to rule with him in this kingdom. The world has lost all of the real significance and the meaning because they have lost the gospel which Christ preached until this present program to which you are listening just now began. And it began in January, in the first Sunday of 1934, and has been going ever since until it has gone worldwide into all nations on all continents of the world. And it has gone out finally now. Now notice again, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, that is the seven plagues that were poured out at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. A great whore, that's a terrible word to put in the Bible, but again, it's a symbol. And it represents something very significant. With whom the kings of the earth, now we're getting down to kings and kingdoms and governments, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, who is this great whore? She is a woman, and she's a fallen woman, the wrong kind of a woman, not a virtuous woman. It's a Bible symbol of a church. Let's turn now to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 12, and the first five verses. And we begin to learn who this woman and what a woman symbolizes in the Bible. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now this woman is not sitting on a beast. She has 12 stars on her head. And she, being with child, cried, traveling in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now here's another symbol of dragon. Who could this dragon be? Well, in the 12th chapter of Revelation and verse 9, you find, that's the same chapter, you find that this dragon is that old serpent called Satan the devil. It's defined right here for you. This red dragon, now he has the color red, just like that wild animal, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Again, there are crowns of government rulership. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Well, that was the fall of the angels. You read in 2 Peter, the second chapter, I believe it is, in the 4th verse of the angels that sinned. However, let's go on right now. In verse 13, in this same 12th chapter of Revelation, I want you to notice about what the devil was doing. And when the dragon, which is the devil, saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. The woman then was Israel, and Christ is the man-child who came. Now, the church is simply Israel converted and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, he is a Jew which is one inwardly and not one outwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the Spirit and not of the flesh. And things like that are said in the New Testament. So the woman now becomes the church, but it was the woman of the Old Testament. It had not become the church of God. It was merely the congregation of Israel, a human man in the Old Testament time. Now it is a Spirit-led church, and altogether different from the old, but it is the same church going on. You'll find in the 11th chapter of Romans that many of the branches, and it's called a tree in there, and a symbol of a tree, and many of the branches of this natural tree, which was Israel of the Old Testament, were broken off, and Gentile branches grafted in among them. But it's still the same tree. So it is speaking of Israel, and here it's speaking of the church. So a woman then is a symbol of a church. Now, I want to go back again for just a moment to Revelation 17 and verse 1. After this came one of the angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I'll show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth on many waters. Now, what are those waters? Well, you will read over here in verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, that is nations, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues, speaking different languages. So it was a church guiding a number of nations speaking different languages. And was a church that was committing fornication with the kings of this world. Now let's get the time of this final prophecy, the time of one of the heads coming up, which was really the 6th head, was, as I said, about 1933 or 1934. But there was a 7th head yet to come. And we come to the time of that in Revelation 17 and verse 14, where it says these, and that is the 10 horns on this woman that had crowns on their horns. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Now, the Lamb is merely a type of Christ, again a symbol, speaking in symbolic language. Jesus Christ was called the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So it is getting down to the time of the second coming of Christ. And the child that was born of the woman which was Israel was Jesus Christ. The dragon was the devil. And here is a fallen woman, a great whore, which is another woman, and who persecuted the church. Now, you find, again, in verse 4 of the 17th chapter, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Purple, the color of royalty and rulership over nations. Scarlet, the color of a whore. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In other words, the Babylonian mystery religion having become great. The Babylonian mystery religion that was started back by King Nebuchadnezzar 600 years before Christ. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, persecuting the true church of God, a persecuting church, a false church, a church that was deceived by Satan the devil, herself deceived, and one who was deceiving the world. Although doing it, she may have been doing it honestly, because it represents human beings. The real culprit here is Satan the devil, who knows better and has deceived all nations. And here are some of the nations ruled by this woman. Drunken with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So now we begin to get a little bit of identity of things that are coming right down to the time, right up to the coming of Christ, and just prior to that time. But of the true persecuted church, let me read you something else now in the 19th chapter of Revelation, and in verses 6 and 7. Where John says, and I heard in his vision, as it were, the voices of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and of the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, the church, hath made herself ready. The church will be made ready for the coming of Christ. That doesn't mean every person in it will be ready, but the church. The church is only those that have and are led by the Holy Spirit of God, not merely those who were baptized in water or those who joined. It is those who have been baptized into the church by the Spirit of God and who have and are led by the Spirit of God. They will be resurrected if they're dead. They'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye if they're living at the time of Christ's coming. And they will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And you read that in the second chapter, verse 26, 26 and 27, and Revelation 3, 21, that the saints are going to rule with Christ. That is also mentioned in the prophecy of the seventh chapter of Daniel. I read you a little of that a while ago, or mentioned it on this program. And so we see that we're getting that close. I'll have to go further into this in a later time, but I want to show you that there are seven of those 10 horns still there to form a union of 10 nations that will be the last one of those horns. And 10 nations in the areas of the ancient Roman Empire, both east and west. And that undoubtedly will include 5 in Eastern Europe as far as Greece, and 5 in Western Europe. in a union of a United States of Europe, in a united empire. And they are going to fight Christ at his coming. Let's see, I intended to read that, but I just don't have time now. It's here in the 17th chapter. They're going to make war against Christ, who will be the Lamb of God, but he is going to overcome them. But I want to close right there for this time, because I want to ask you to read all of this and get it all in a special booklet I have, Who is the Beast? That's speaking of this beast, and it speaks of the four beasts of Daniel, the 7th chapter, the beast of the 13th chapter, the beast of the 17th chapter of Revelation, and it goes back into Daniel 2 and the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw, which identifies who they are. And there is quite a table in the middle of this book. Did you ever try to figure out a great problem of arithmetic like 9,872 divided by 39 and multiplied by 6 and divided by another number, and then you take away so many and figure all that out in your head? You can't do it. Now, I think that if you had the right kind of a machine, I think a computer would do it. But the only way you can do it is to put it down on paper and figure it out. And the only way you can figure out this whole beast system, as it is in the 13th and the 17th chapters of Revelation, the 2nd and the 7th chapters of Daniel, and even other prophecies put together with it, is to make a chart. And this chart is in this book, and I've never seen one like it any other place. Who is the beast? There's no charge for this book, but I'd like to send it to you. Now, I would also like to send the Plain Truth magazine, one of the world's great mass circulation magazines, published in 6 languages, circulation over 6 million, going all around the world. There is no magazine like the Plain Truth. You get that kind of articles because you get it from those who understand biblical prophecy and its significance in the light of Bible prophecy. You learn what's going on in the world and what has happened from Bible prophecy. Why are we in the troubles we are? Where are we going? What is the future? What is going to happen next? You need the Plain Truth. Now, you get a year's subscription free. There is no subscription price. There is no request for money unless you voluntarily send it yourself. We're not going to request anything. You're not going to have any follow-up. Now, this article, Who is the Beast? And the year's subscription of the Plain Truth, just for telephoning in or for writing in. So, until next time, this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.